back up to the Song of Solomon. And we left off at the end of chapter 2. And we left off, and I say, in our journey. And I pray we all not just take heart, we rejoice. How wonderfully the Lord knows us. And how he has written us into the Word and the Word into us. And I thank God that he saw us in this deep love in ages past, before the foundation of the world. I thank God that the Holy Ghost has let us see that through Paul's gospel. That's how the Old Testament comes alive to you. That it's not just stories, that this is type and shadow of everything that we're even seeing coming forth and will come forth. But we are so grateful to God tonight. We get to know a little bit about our walk, and we can say, oh, thank you, God. Been there, done that, in that. You're doing that. Praise God. We'll believe you. Hallelujah. But we left off in this journey, and the journey is the journey of the wife or the Lamb of God to the husband, and that's the journey we're on. And we left off with the bride saying, I need a break. I need some space here. I need you to depart a little bit from me. And it's interesting how she says this in verse 16. She says, my beloved is mine and I am his. And that's so beautiful. It's wonderful. And I thank God that's on our hearts too. We have that praise. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm thankful as it even gets more magnificent as we know as we go along in this that, no, my beloved is mine and his desire, and I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. But I love to tell him that he's mine. I love to tell him, praise the Lord, that I am his. Amen? We never get tired of that conversation with the Lord. But here she says to him, he feedeth among the lilies. And we've seen that in the first two chapters, he told her, no, you're the lily. She's here telling him, "It's you know, I just want you to kind of focus on everybody else. It's wonderful." And he said, no, 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 I'm focused on you. I want you. I need you to understand this. And I thank the Lord as we come in here. We want our brother and sister in Christ to win. This we get that it as much as for ourselves. And we're one in this as well. We know that. But we understand, too, that sometimes we can let good get in the way of God's best. We really can. And we're thinking we're doing something for the good and sometimes for the masses. And yet here we missed God's very best. It's a Martha thing. Brothers and sisters, she was encumbered with many things. She was encumbered with those that were around her. She wasn't taking that better part. And you're his better part. He wants you. And as much as we want others to go or whatever it would be, he wants you. And you go. And then I'll tell you what, you'll be used for somebody else to go. You know how that works. So here we are. She tells him, though, in that next verse, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of separation. Separate from me a little bit. Give me a breather. And so, you know, the Lord, he said, you know, we can kind of have our own way. But he said, you'll have leanness to your soul. Well, let's see what happens in chapter 3, verse 1. Here she is. I'm just going to say that night. It wasn't just by night. It was that night. On my bed. I sought him who my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. That's how great the separation became very quickly. And the big thing about that is she's been in his bed since chapter 1. Think of that. She's been in his bedroom chamber. Look at that. He took her into the bedroom chamber. What verse was that? Verse 4 of chapter 1. Huh? Verse 16 of chapter 1. She's saying, behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, our bed. And now she's in her bed? I don't think the Lord has separate bedrooms. He's just got one. It's his bedroom chamber. And I think this is, it makes me smile and to think how much he loves us. And we're not going to have it our way. He loves us. He's in first love with us. And there's a lot required there. He wants that response. He's given us everything. And, you know, when you're found in your bed, I'll tell you what, you won't be with the spouse. You won't. The only place the spouse is in his bedroom. And I thank God because she says here, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him. I sought him. I sought him. But I found him not. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for his chastening in my life. How about you? We've all been there, haven't we? And aren't you thankful your life does not set right without Paul's gospel? This is what this is about. It doesn't. He loves us like this. We can try to say, well, I'm going. But see, God comes in and you're it. And it's like a Peter saying, but it's in a way bigger way. Lord, where else are we going to go? We have the heart of Paul. There is no other gospel. And sometimes that has to come truly encouraging yourself in the Lord. And he does the chastening. And I'm so thankful to God. His love, his first love settles you down. It quits you thrashing around. It quits the striving. It quits all of the, I'm encumbered with so many things. Quit being encumbered with so many things. Just get at his feet and focus. And so I thank God it doesn't sit right unless we have that first love fellowship with the lover of our soul. And I thank God he makes it very clear here, unless we are in his bed. This is the fervent love that Brother Paul had. And it's imperative, brothers and sisters, for our lives. If we back down from that, what happens is we begin to fold our hands. We begin to close just one eye. Eventually what happens is we lay down the crown. And God forbid that would be us. And here's where it can lead to. And I think the Lord tells us this in many different ways. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 2. And I think this is very important as the Lord, brothers and sisters, the Lord tarried. And yes, that more would come into the bridal message. Thank you, Lord. There's ones that are still coming into this. And we know this time is still available. We're not at the time shall be no more. But it didn't mean for us to just sit around and be stagnant. We should have the greatest of growth there truly has ever been. With the line upon line and precept upon precept that has been given by, and you talk about the forefathers of our faith, those that we have marked that have followed Paul as he followed Christ. I'm not going to say that there were a lot, but thanks be to God for the ones that we've had. And the messages and the writings and the encouragement. And then as we understand in the Word of God, it's not a competition, but we grow on. We grow on. And it's not that there's more truth. The truth's the truth. The truth has all been preached. We understand this. But the depth of it. And we need to have a heart like a Joshua. Let me tell you something. Moses knew God. Moses knew God face to face as a friend. But Joshua got on over to the promise and he said, as an old man, there's more land to walk through. What are you doing? Caleb came out there. And he was after all of them. Let's take it now. At least her daughter listened. She even got a double portion of what her daddy did. Well, here's what this is all about. Let's read about this church of Ephesus. Okay? In chapter 2, verse 4. Well, actually, we'll just back up a little bit. Verse 2. Angel of the Lord says to them, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Wonderful thing. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. Wonderful thing. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Wonderful. Nevertheless, I have against thee, somewhat against thee, but it's against thee. And one thing, because thou hast left thy first love. All right? Thou hast left thy first love. That word left is divorce. It translates. It's divorce. All right? I'm just going to ask you. What do you have to be divorced? Engaged? How about dating? Married. Married. Just read it for what it is, saints. All right? So you have to be married. The Song of Solomon that we are studying about ourselves, this woman started. See, we catch her at a time where she has been told, courted. She's been the Rebecca at the well prior to chapter 1 and has been given the proposal, and she's accepted it and says, I'll go. That's why in chapter 1 she's already on this journey that he's taken her, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You don't fall in love with the Lord until you realize he's in love with you. Do you get that? She didn't just fall in love with him. She was in love with him because he showed her, I'm in love with you. So we pick up the Song of Solomon that she knows, and let's just say, and type and shout on all of that, she gets Paul's gospel, she knows it's hers, she knows she's the wife for the Lamb of God, and she's on the race course to win him. All right? To win him. And what does that mean? What, you know, all the action that we're doing? There's no action. You stand. And you withstand, and you having done all, you stand. It's all on him. It's all on him. We've been studying, rejoicing in this. We're so thankful to God. From the very type and shadow of the marriage of the ancient Hebrew culture, it's all on the groom. He guarantees everything. She accepts him as her husband, and he does all the rest. And all she does is just abide. Abide. I'm his wife. Is that enough?
It's everything.
Amen, it is. And I thank God for that, Hagen. It is everything. Is it enough to be the wife for the Lamb of God? Is it enough to sit still? Is it enough to be the lily that's arrayed with the fullness of the glory of God? Is it enough to receive mercy like that? That you're a vessel of mercy, of the exact extreme opposite of what you deserve, to be clothed with all the riches of his glory? Is it enough? Huh? No, really, is that enough?
There's nothing else, it's everything.
A little leaven will spoil it. A little leaven, a little leaven will have you in a place where you'll be found having your own righteousness, your self-righteousness, which is of the law. That's not his wife. His wife is a vessel of complete mercy, saints. Now, I'm married. I've got a husband. All right? Get over it. Yeah. There's neither male nor female. Get over it. I've got a spouse. He's keeping everything for me. I just hold that love fast, that crown, that shared glory with him. That he's already won for me. That he'll perform for me. That he'll keep for me. That he'll accomplish for me. That he'll perfect for me. Amen. And we will give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. We're sheep, saints. Amen. I get it. I get it. But sometimes, pray. Now, brothers and sisters, the Shulamite, this Song of Solomon, she's the wife. You have the crown. You're the readied wife for the Lamb of God. Quit questioning His grace. Quit doubting His mercy. Take Him at His promises. I will perform the good work which I've begun in you. Amen? Come on. Where's Romans 8? Is it just beating in your heart? Is it real to you? Are you part of the whom He foreknew? Did He predestinate your life, or did He not get you? Huh? All the way to glorified. Now, you sure? Why wouldn't I want to take Him at all His promises, sister? What do you think? Come, brother. I want it all. He said we could have it all, saints. What do you want from Him? Want it all? I want all of Him. All of Him. He did this for us on the cross. That joy that was set before Him. I'm going to finish it for you, honey. I'm going to win it all for us. I am that I am. I know that that thing that I send it to, it's going to accomplish. Do you hear Him tell that to you? Don't doubt me. I'll do it. Amen. You just walk by faith. Here. Sit on that camel. I sent the very power of my might to minister to you constantly, all the time. Listen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen? All right. So you're the wife. You're just like Rebecca at the well. Praise God. You let Him put the bracelets on you, the earring. That earring was like a face ring that the wife would wear. That was put on her. It meant she was married. Done. Finished. Praise God. Now we're on the journey to the husband. All right? And thanks be to God, you just load up for the ride. Amen? You don't know how to get there, but you know who's taking you there, and you know it's not going anywhere else but there, because that's where that message will take you. The Shulamite is married to the bridegroom in chapter 1, and this is us. The wife said she'll go, and only the husband, praise God, I thank the Lord, he's the only one that takes us to the bedroom chamber. She shares his bed with him in chapter 1, verse 16. She calls it their own bed. They're married. This is very important, brothers and sisters, because I believe that there'll even be more growth in your life as you see how much he loves you, as you see how mighty his grace is. When you see that when he saw you, that you were highly favored, his love exceeded for you just like it was for Esther, all the other women. She had the crown and the feast way into the first of that message of that book of Esther. She was already it. The reigning was there. She just grew into it. But she was already the choice. You're that choice. These aren't just stories. This is your life. It's unfolding before you. It was already done. You're now living the manifestation of it. Praise God. Now, and here's the reason. Too many have left this grace. Too many is like Paul said, you ran well. Who hath bewitched you? It's the truth. Too many meetings are drying up. And the reason is it's because They're drying up in this bridal glory because they're not wanting to see more land. And when you don't want to go on and see the depth and the beauty of the Lord, you begin to look to try to see the depth and the beauty of you, and that'll get you every time. You either go on to see more of him or you start looking at you. The truth is the truth. But as I said earlier, the depths of the mining of the truth are endless. And the beautiful thing, I think, as we're here tonight, we all relate to this. The joy unspeakable to the wife for the Lamb of God is to see even more glory. Is it not? I mean, isn't that? I mean, don't we kind of come and wonder, Lord, what are you going to give us? What are you going to show to us? Where are you going to take us? Whether it's today at a Bible study, wherever it is, he loves you like that. And God help us never to retreat, saints. Don't ever separate ourselves to go sleep in our own bed. I was kind of chuckling about this. I remember Polly and I were not married very long. And we had, I think, our first disagreement. So I was going to show her. And so I went out to sleep on the couch. It lasted about a whole 10 minutes. And I said, this is really stupid. And I got back in our bed. So, that's that. But see, that's a young married one, huh? That's a good bed. That's our bed. Now here's what's the beautiful part. He's faithful. He's faithful. And here it is. It's his faithful first love that kicks in. Huh? It's his faithful first love that kicks in. What am I talking about? Let's read verse 2 of chapter 3. All right, now come on. She sought him, I sought him, I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now. So, okay. And go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loves. Boy, I'll tell you, she's really on that, isn't she? Verse 1, whom my soul loves, whom my soul loves. And here she is again. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loves? Some interesting stuff here, brothers and sisters. This is very telling of our journey. And I pray we take note of this. Now she gets up to get him. She rises up. In order for you to rise, you got to feed. So she's feasting. You can't rise up. You have no strength without feeding. That was just like the prophet. So she's been taking the word. She's been encouraging herself in the Lord. And what has she encouraged herself in? His love. And I love him. My soul loves him. My soul loves him. There's a longing. We're as you've heard the thing, soulmates, we're spouses. I need to find my spouse, the lover, my lover. I need to find him. I need to be with him. This is, he's insatiable about this. But notice here, she can't find him at first. And notice here, she goes to these watchmen that can't help her. This is important, saints, very important. This is showing that we can seek out counsel from ones that have an appearance that they know of the bridegroom, but they didn't want him. And they don't want you to want him. They don't. And they can be very subtle in this and very tricky. They look like they could help. They appear godly. But as we will find out, these watchmen truly represent the legalists. They do. And in our time, brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you, in our time, I'm talking about us. They can even be ones that know the bridal message, but they still want to clip a pinky fingernail. And they will defeat you. Now, what do I mean by that? And I think this is important as well, too, because I think there's people that are younger people that have come into the meeting that don't really understand this. And when you're quoting something that somebody else is quoting, that they're saying something about something that's not necessarily in Scripture, you need to understand what they're talking about. When Brother Hill would speak of clipping that pinky fingernail, that didn't speak of salvation, all right? I heard that from some someone. And that's not what that meant at all. The pinky fingernail was someone who had run and run in the grace of God and had ran well. But they got to a point in their life that they thought that they needed to do something of themselves, of their own doing, their flesh, as small as it was, to be made finally acceptable to be the bride. It's either grace or it's works. It's either by His Spirit or it's your flesh. The two don't mix. They just don't. And that last little clip of a pinky fingernail, what Brother Hill was bringing out, that'll cost you the crown. You don't want even a bit of a thought that something of your work, something that you need to refine your character. Let me tell you something. The Lord's in love with you. That's the changer. That's everything. I was expressing to a precious brother. You know, he said, but brother, you know, you said you washed dishes for your wife because you're in love. Yes. But I don't wash them dishes to have her love me more. That would be manipulating. I don't want to manipulate my wife. I don't do stuff to manipulate the Lord to love me. His love, let me explain something to you. His love is full all the time. It's always been. It'll never change. You'll never get Him to love you more. He just does. Do you understand that? The things of my life that come forth, He causes me to will and do of His good pleasure because of love. That's the motivation. It's not to be more acceptable. It's not to. And it's the same with you. And I love this because, like in Galatians 5, and God willing, we'll be there in a couple weeks. I know we're going to be right back there. It's beautiful. And it's needful. Things come forth. It's needful. But all throughout Galatians, everything even in chapter 5, the warning is legality. It's all about legality. It's all about self-works. And Paul comes to the point and he says, they should be cut off. Cut off. You understand that? Cut off. But then it says to not let this liberty be an occasion of flesh to hurt my brother. Once again, and it says right after that, that the law we live under, the one law, is love. Is love. There is a law that we live under. It's the law of love. There's a judgment of love. How much? I'm free. It's the law of liberty. Where there is no law, there is no sin. I was thanking my wife again today. He removed the sin in my life as far as the east is from the west. But He knew I still wouldn't get it. He said, you know what? How about this one? He that's born of God cannot sin. Oh, excuse me. Cannot commit sin, neither can he sin. Okay. So He removed it, and then He said, well, wait a second, I gave you my life. This is a whole new line. You're a whole new man, and it's my life, and it can't commit sin, neither does it. Neither can you sin. Okay? But that wasn't enough either. He said, I'm going to put you in the realm of grace, and where there is no law, there is no sin. So He removed it. He made me completely sinless. I cannot sin. And then He placed me in a place there is no law. What do you think? Why am I thinking about sin? Come on, amen. It's time to grow up, isn't it, saints? The mature sons of God. Huh? Walk in it. Walk in the Spirit. You're not under the law. That's when you'll walk in the Spirit. You get it?
Amen.
And why do I not allow that? By the grace of God. Because the love of God in me and the love of God in you, we love one another. We don't want to hurt each other. We do, though. We understand that. But it's love, saints. Let's get it. Now, what happens here is, like I said, these legalists, they don't want her to go on. They look like they can help, but they can't because they don't want to. And we must be on the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We must follow Paul. How do we follow Paul? We follow grace. We follow mercy. We follow the pureness of the word of his grace, and that will build us up and give us an inheritance. The only thing among all them that truly are sanctified. And you'll find those, as you go that way, you'll find those that magnify his mercy. And later on in this, you know what you really find out. Those watchmen, they can kind of be subtle with it, but those true colors come out. They assault her. They do everything they can to keep her away from this. But I'll tell you what, even though they're opposed to the perfect, all-mercy, bridal love, love wins. Always wins. Praise God. When you're the Lord's, he's going to do it, and he will. Now, and thanks be to God. We are into verse 4 now. Oh, thanks be to God. It wasn't long. We just go after the stuff. Huh? Come on. I'm not looking to somebody to get it for me. I'm not looking to the watchmen that look like they might be able to get me there. He loves me. I'm there. Hallelujah. And you know what? She quits playing with feelings. She quits striving. It's grace alone. She's not doing this in her brain anymore. I love him. And time's running out. And I want to be in this fellowship. Huh? And this is what's so beautiful. It was but a little while that passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Let's get the love back on. That's the whole point. This is my spouse. This is, you know, and I even thank the Lord for that type in my natural relationship with my wife. I hate when stuff gets in the way. I have a good time with her. We have such fun. And I'm thankful. But man, when and you can see, you know how it piles up, saints. And it's like, my goodness, we got to get back to love. We didn't get married to bicker. We didn't get married to, you know, and I tell these kids all the time, you're not, remember this, you didn't get married to have car payments or a big house. You got married because you love one another. You have fun together. You're two little young roll hearts. And by the grace of God, don't lose that. That's why the Lord says, cling to the wife of thy youth. And I thank God for this encouragement for her. And in verse 5, she says it. I charge ye, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds feet of the fields, that ye stir not up nor awake love till he please. I just want to love him. Don't bug my first love. But you got to set those boundaries. The boundary is you just go after him. And you need to as they say, put the foot down. Hold it fast, saints. Cherish it. That's when you really love somebody too. Is you love your family enough, your friends enough to say, I'm going. And I love you. And I love you enough to tell you. I love you enough to tell you, you can't be distracted. I love you enough to tell you, saints, it's got to be grace. You can't give your ear to hear that stuff. You'll get silly real quick. It'll always feel good to try to do something. We all know that. We've been there. We've been there. We've been. This is our journey. But there's a leanness, and I thank God that he shoots it in so fast. That it just shakes me. You're my lover. Stop it. We have such fun together. Don't do this. Pleading with us. Just let me love you. Just love me. Now, that's what wins. Loving his appearing. Loving his appearing. Not being distracted with others. Not loving my appearance. Huh? Did you catch that? Loving his appearing, not loving my appearance. Oh, yeah. See, Pharisees love what they look like, where the worshiper just loves his feet. And it's interesting, the Pharisee really was disturbed about what the worshiper looked like. But it's interesting, Jesus only had eyes for the worshiper. How many ways do I have to tell you I love you? You know what I love? I love mercy. How many ways does he have to tell us, honeys, it's mercy, it's grace? It's here, saints. It's just right out here, and it's you have to deny it. You do. Now she's back, right back there in the first chapter, back in first love. You know what she's back into? She sees that she don't need to toil around and strive. Get caught up with others, all those kinds of things, because that'll just take you away, and we know how easy that is. But she's back to being, as what he called her early on, the lily. She's not toiling. Nope. I'm just loving. I'm just here. Praise God. I've just got all the DNA. I've got the Lord of all. I'm just a lily. He's planted me where? Where I will receive what I need. I was looking at my flowers today. Actually, they're Polly's flowers, but I get them too. But she goes out there and she plants them where they need to be. And there they are again. Every year, boom, boom, just beautiful. Don't look like they're going to, but there they are. And here they're starting to come up and they're starting to, the bulb, and soon there'll be the blossom, all that beauty, all that lily planted right in the exact spot it needed to be. Well, first of all, it had all the DNA, right? Probably didn't have to go out there and yell at it how it needed to look. Now, you got to keep this petal, and you got to be red, and you... It's just all there. It's in the DNA. Lord of all. Born Lord of all. All there in the DNA, right? And then, thanks be to God, planted where it would receive all the sun and the water and all the caring that it needs. Just standing there. And all I'm doing is receiving everything that's freely given. Amen? How wonderful it is. I've been planted in a ministry of Paul's gospel. That's where lilies are planted. That's where the lily is planted. Amen. And it receives everything it needs. Praise God. Listening. Oh, yes, listening. receiving all of those nutrients, hallelujah, grows up into him in all things.
Amen.
So we're his workmanship.
Amen.
You think she realizes that?
Yes.
I just need to get back to loving my first love. This is what it is. This is where we just see the heart of the husband. He trusts in her. There's a rest. And why? Because she's resting that he's got it all. Do you know that? I mean, I appreciated that so much about my wife. Not to appreciate that about my mom, that same type. That they had confidence in their husband that we'd go out and do what we needed to do. And I understand different households work differently and things. I'm just giving you a type of what God had given to me. But it made my heart rest that she could have that confidence. She wasn't asking me and in my face and different things of that nature with that. And I thank God it was just his grace. But it's a type and it's a shadow, and I'm so thankful that it is his bridal love enough? Is it enough? Is it enough that he says, you're my wife, that I've sent the Holy Ghost to tell you? I mean, I want to marry you, just you. You're the one that was sitting there at the well. I just want you. As a matter of fact, we're ready to take you. And I've got, it's not just an engagement. I'm giving you all the wedding garment. I'm going to put you on the wedding train. You're going to come to me. And I'm going to meet you. We're going to meet in the air. That enough? You see what I'm saying? It's got to be. And it's more than enough, isn't it? We're going to be like him in the fullness, in the stature, in the measure of him. It's going to be revealed, that glory, saints. And it's the building of all of this word of his grace. Know it. Thank him for it. And just rest. Amen? All right, I think that's enough tonight. Let's stand and be dismissed.